Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We are always, for 25 years-ish, that's exaggerating, 23. We've always been buying and selling gold and silver, rare coins, collections, estates, accumulations, hoards, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, etc. 23 years. We've never not been buying. We never turn anything away that's legit. We just never have. We've always been buying. So many, many dealers will have their ups and downs and cash flow problems. And, you know, they get too long on this or too long on that. That's the nature of our business. You can imagine how it works. If you just buy and buy and buy everything that somebody puts in front of you, there's going to be times you got way too many of these or those or, you know, and then all of a sudden it goes in waves and everybody buys again. And you're out, and it's crazy business. This business, there will be times where we'll have millions of dollars worth of stuff laying around and no money in the bank or very little. And then, you know, 2-3 weeks later, we'll have an incredible amount of money in the bank and low on inventory or whatever. But we try to inventory everything specifically so we can have complete control. One thing about us is if you invest with us and you, you know, are building a portfolio, what's amazing is the quality of product that you get from us. We go through phenomenal amounts of material. I mean, you'd be shocked over the years. I've discussed it, and I hate saying it just because I don't want to be braggadocious. I don't, you know, it's just not my goal, but it's just, I think it's important for the client to understand we really have gone through a lot of product over the years and a lot of product, but we hand select for clients. And I mean, if you understood, okay, for example, we've got a guy and his wife who've been with us for a long time. And I think he's spending about $12,000 or something. And I mean, we picked, you know, number one, we hand select just the best of the best. He's primarily Carson City's, but we got a little bit of rare gold in there. I'll tell you what, folks, rare gold coins, man, you know, down the road, I mean, the performance ratings are so good. And when the market gets goofy, like it is now, the market's confused, folks. I mean, I don't care who you are or what you think. It's a fact. And but we hand select for our clients. We hand select. Remember that. That we'll hand select for him, you know, $12,000 out of literally phenomenal quantities. I mean, hundreds of, well, $1 million inventory plus multiples of that, but hundreds of thousands of dollars in rare coins. And we hand select the stuff that really is good, that's performed, you know, that's got a track record, et cetera, and so on. It's important. I'll tell you what, I've been around this business a long time, and man, I will tell you something, quality pays. And you know what? That philosophy right there, you need to apply that philosophy to every aspect of your life. Quality pays, okay? Junk is always junk. And, you know, I don't mean that in the terms of, you know, junk silver, as some people want to call it. And then I had a gal the other day, we were kind of laughing together about it. I just hate calling it junk. I hate the term junk silver. That's what they call old U.S. silver coinage that, you know, I mean, our coinage was silver till 1964, right? And then the half dollars from 1965 through 1970 were 40% silver. And what's interesting about that is that their face values only, well, let's go the other way. Their silver value is so close to their face value. I mean, it's just a small multiple that they're just like a no-brainer. They're a really reduced risk for someone on a really low budget that just wants no risk at all. We offer some of those, but believe it or not, those are really, they're cheap and they're terribly rare. Another item that's cheap and rare is what they call warnicles. During the war, 1942 through 45, they made warnicles that had silver in them instead of copper. Because they were using the copper for warfare. That's why we got the steel pennies in 1943. And everybody should get a roll of steel pennies. I mean, they're not expensive. That's cool, right? And we've got hand-selected stuff, so they're not rusty like a bunch of junk, you know. That a ton of them rusted. They threw 253 million of them in the ocean because they were corroding so bad. They were zinc-plated steel and... You know, so, I mean, those are like really cool topics of conversation. You can buy a roll of nice steel pennies for 10, well, how much would that be? You know, whatever, 50 coins to a roll, 20 cents a piece. I don't know. Maybe they're 15 bucks a roll. I don't know. But that's just cheap, right? So you come and you get one of those. You invest. We don't. Warnicles, like I said, crazy, stupid, cheap. They go strictly for their silver content, and they are impossible to get, so we never have a large quantity. We never have a large quantity of them at all. I mean, it takes us tremendous amounts of time to build up a quantity of them, and there's weird stuff like that they're actually incredibly rare, but I guess, you know, they just trade for silver. That's kind of a, you know, diversionary tangent, I suppose. But on the other hand, it's worth doing. It's just worth having that stuff lying around, for the upside of it. Having the old U.S. silver coinage is a great way to get silver. Silver right now is just dirt cheap. You get my point? How about it's dirt cheap, and it's free, really, relative to what it's really worth. And I would highly recommend you get yourself, you know, some silver. You can buy silver bars, silver rounds, old U.S. silver coins. The old U.S. silver coins, obviously, I like. You know, my favorite, I mean, if anyone's ever listened to the show, this is a real tricky question. What's my favorite kind of silver coin to own? Oh, yeah, silver dollars. We've got, you know, circulated 21s in piece. We've got a pretty good quantity right now. We're actually surprising. We're that for probably the first time in, golly, 10, 12 years, I may have to wholesale some because we bought a couple just massive estates of silver dollars where these old timers, you know, what do you call them, Depression era, you know, where they literally would have like 100,000 silver dollars or, you know, at least tens of thousands. And we've got a quantity. So Mike wanted me to let you know that we're going to wholesale some off. And we need to. We've just got a fair amount of them and heading into the summer. But if you want a really, really good deal on a savings account that's going to grow, I mean, guaranteed, folks, guaranteed. The value is just tremendous. The value is terrific. I mean, you got to get in. And like I said, I don't care what you got, 10,000, 20,000, 500 bucks, you know, whatever it is, come and get them. Because a lot of them are going to get wholesaled off. And I would just highly recommend that you get yourself into that deal. And while the going's good, I've been around this business. I've watched the cycles up. I've watched the cycles down. This is an interesting cycle. People are confused, but they want to believe. You know, they want to believe in Donald Trump. And they really, and he talks good. He's really pushed that market up just through a lot of real positive rhetoric. And, you know, that's the power of positive speech, right? The Bible's pretty clear about that. Now, you get a guy with the power of Donald J. Trump, and he starts talking positive. He has a phenomenal effect on the entire market. Obama used to say these things that were really negative, and I don't know exactly. I'm not sure. See, I think that I really believe that those people, the left, they want you on welfare, ultimately. They want everyone on welfare. What are they doing? I just helped a Border Patrol agent yesterday from the southern border who was trying to clean up an estate of his father-in-law's or of his father's. Kind of a mess. And we had to work on it for a couple days to get him into the safe deposit box. And, and I said, why do you think that all of a sudden under Trump, that all of a sudden we've got, you know, masses more people coming in than there were under Obama? And why is the left fighting so hard? And he said, they want to get them in here to vote. And, you know, step one, step two is amnesty and then vote. And we talked about the fact that as a illegal immigrant, they vote. Folks, you have got to understand this. You can go down in many, if not most states, I don't know if Washington's one of them, I can research it, where you don't have your voter ID registration with you. And all you got to do is say, I forgot my voter ID card. Give them a name and an address, and boom, you're voting right there, right now, you know. And the illegals, they do it in quantity. If you remember when Obama got into office, he was the head of that ACORN, where they would literally take buses around Chicago, and they had found women. Of course, Fox News is the only one who'd investigate, which just makes me sick. I mean, you get CNN, fake news. I mean, we've taken fake news to a new level, folks. It's such lies. It's just repulsive, right? And they won't cover any of these stories. They won't tell you the truth. I mean, this stuff, this is America, you know, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we have a representative democracy, a.k.a. republic base. And people are breaching that and stealing it and stealing elections. And as long as they're stealing it for the left, the media doesn't care. I'm sorry. That's not right. But Obama, you know, he was heading up this ACORN. They had gals 14 to 24 votes a day. They were getting like $100 to $200 per vote in cash and gift cards and all this stuff. This one gal had voted 24 times in a day, and she made thousands of dollars. And she was, of course, from like the projects or whatever it was. And, you know, she was poor, and they get them going, and they just teach them how to do this. And then they drive them around and do that. And then the other thing, when my wife and I were down at a trade show in Vegas a couple of years ago, and I was driving in a taxi cab with the guy, and he was very brilliant. And we were having a really nice political conversation, very enjoyable, very bright guy, super conservative-ish. And I said, man, it's too bad you can't vote. And he goes, what are you talking about? He goes, that's the first thing they teach us when we get here. And I'm like, what? And he said, oh, yeah. And he's the one that explained the system to me, that you just walk in and say you forgot your card and boom, you're voting. And I'm like, wow, I would have never guessed that. He said, oh, yeah, it's done everywhere. And Trump was the one that said, you know, the election was stolen. He said he was wiretapped, not stolen, but he said that there was all these fake votes, over 3 million. And then the media attacks him and they go, prove it. Well, how do you prove it? You know, and who's going to invest the resources to prove it? And it's really bad. And so we've got people pouring over the Rio Grande, pouring into this country through the borders, pouring through the ports, just coming in. They do this stupid catch and release garbage, you know, where they give them a ticket and say appear in court in 6 months. So now they're here, and then they don't go to court, and there's no real criminal action, and nobody chases them down. And the police departments, you know, can pull over an illegal and they can't do anything about it. There's nothing at all they can do about it. They just have to ignore it and let him go. I think it was in New Mexico. There was a county where a sheriff recently just passed a law that he gave his officers permission to call ICE. This Border Patrol agent I was talking to yesterday said it used to be that they would the police would call the, you know, immigration officials if they found – if they pulled someone over who was an illegal immigrant. And then, of course, the left, they want them in here. Why do you want them in here? I mean, why do you have a lock on the door of your house? I mean, why not just open the door and let everybody come on in? You know, put up a big sign. Come on in. You know, it's pure foolishness. It's wrong. It's as wrong as it gets, and it's definitely not – the way this country was founded at all. This is a country of pride and glory and majesty and magnificence. And you need to earn your citizenship. And we have a process, by the way, where you can go through. I've got relatives and friends who have gone through the citizenship programs. And I'm telling you, guess what they learn? They learn the Constitution. They learn they end up in a lot of cases knowing more than you or I about the Constitution and the history of the founding fathers. And it's really neat. I mean, it's an incredible education. And that's done for a purpose. Why are you in America? You know, they're teaching them. They're teaching them what America is all about. You know, what do we stand for? What do we believe in? What's the Bill of Rights? You know, the biggest problem is, The other issue that's going on that I need to talk about that I think is really important is between Amazon and Walmart. I mean, I'll be frank, this country is being torn apart and destroyed economically. So we show, you know, Trump shows all these jobs, not Trump, whatever, from Trump. There's jobs all over. They say there's way more jobs than there are employees available right now. And the big thing is that there are, but they're all minimum wage jobs. They're jobs that you can hardly live on, that you can't. And there's hyperinflation going on, which is kept secretly hidden, where they just do not let you understand that your spending power of your dollar is just being eroded beyond belief. And because the consumer price index is a false index, it's a lie, employees are not getting appropriate raises. Now, this was one area where I struggle with these minimum wage laws because, you know, there's states like Alabama or whatever, again, just throwing names out. There's states where the minimum wage is so low that people could never live at all, then they end up, you know, like in the restaurant industry trying to get tips. It's just really tough. It's tough, you know, and it's not right. When the whole minimum wage debate was going on, I'm a small business owner. I overpay my employees on purpose. I just do. And it's something I've always done, and some condemn me for it. It's bitten me. I've learned a lot about people and money and employees. I've learned no matter what, you cannot paying an employee more does not make them a better employee. Okay? People have character, and they're going to work the way they're going to work no matter what they're paid. If they're passive aggressive, if they're, you know, destructive by nature, if they're divisive, you're not going to take that out of them by paying them $50,000 a year and then have them, you know, go from 50 hours of work a week down to 32 and cheating on their time cards. And I've been through all that, by the way, you can tell. But it doesn't make them better people. And you find a good person, and then that's where these companies, they find someone who's good. And, you know, for those of you out there that work for companies, you know, shine. Don't be the last one in the door and the first one out at the end of the day. Be the first one in and the last one out. There's nothing more irritating than watching an employee spend the last, 30 minutes of his day or hour of his day quitting work because he knows he's leaving at 7 or whatever. Just wasting time, making sure that they don't really get into projects or, that's not where you're going to get promotions and raises. And if you're content with your income, it doesn't matter. You need to work as unto the Lord. And if you're working that way and you're cutting out all the time and you're sick all the time and you party all weekend and you're not getting enough sleep and, that's not working as unto the Lord. And hypocrisy, when you own when a Christian owned and operated business, it's hypocrisy when people do this kind of stuff and take advantage of the good naturedness of a business owner. And I've seen this over the years as I was a regional manager for Bank of America, and I just went business to business. I called on business after business after business. Everything from finance and motorcycles to cars to boats to airplanes to mobile homes, and just visiting, business owners in general. And those principles are universal. People are like, why did he get promoted and I didn't? Well, there's a couple cases. One, you're not doing your job well. Two, maybe you're not smart enough. I don't know. But in a lot of cases, if you're doing a good job, maybe, don't be afraid to highlight it a little bit. I know in corporate America, been there, done that. There are people that try to make others look bad, undermine. When I was the youngest promoted manager in Norwest Banks, I mean, people don't realize Norwest Banks bought Wells Fargo. They kept the Wells Fargo name because it was so well known for so long. But they bought them out, and I was the youngest promoted manager in the company. And I was, I think, one of the shortest term employees. They gave me a branch that was basically being folded, shut down, because this guy had just run it into the ground. And, he went and he was an odd duck. And I was supposed to let employees go. And I was young and very aggressive. And, and I burnt bridges and I learned a lot about people. I learned a lot about life. But, and I was in there on Saturdays when we were closed. And, I was just always working. And my numbers were phenomenal. And all of a sudden I took this suicide branch, which we used to call it, which meant we were shutting it down. And they put brand new managers in there to get experience before they shut it down and move on. And I turned it around. And in two years in a row, it became star performing branch, which was top, 1.5% of over 1,000 branches. And it just was in my nature to succeed. I wanted raises, which weren't too impressive, but I wanted to do better and do good. I had employees that did well, and a lot of it was, being able to motivate them. But there's some people you can't motivate. They're like pushing lead. There's, we have a good team here. We've got good friendships and we care about each other a lot. I think what's really important as an employee, I don't care where you work, is just finish strong. Whatever you do, do well and finish strong. I was talking earlier about positive speech, the power of what Trump's done to the markets. The markets have gone crazy, okay? And we've been doing a series here recently called Frauds End Suddenly, okay? I've done three parts of it. I'm heading into part four now. And it's true. Frauds end suddenly. Do not be fooled. Or as the Bible said, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And it's really important that we, you know, live our lives in that manner. And when we speak positively, we get results. And you get Trump, you know, you get like Galatians or Colossians 4 or whatever it is. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Now, that's class, right? Can you imagine being a politician or something and having to stand and have people shove microphones at your face? Of course, they always use the trap questions, are you still beating your wife and things like that. But you serve the Lord. You've got Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit dwells within you. And that's all you've got to please is God, okay? Don't lie to yourselves and tell yourself you're pleasing God if you're not walking with Him. I think youth is a problem for all of us. We think we're invincible, we're going to last forever, and a lot of us blow our 20s by not really. Those are the really good times to get traction in life. You know, we've got a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, which we've seen with Trump, right? Harsh words stir up a little anger. The tongue of the wise in Proverbs 15 commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. That's Ephesians 5:4. One thing that's important, okay, cursing, swearing, you know, not good, right? But folks, of all things, okay, from my perspective, just plugging this in there, this is really important. People struggle with swearing. I did for years, and I grew up in Montana, and it just, you know, there was a time I had, just a potty mouth. I'm sorry, but I'm just confessing one to another. But I'll tell you what, the one thing, folks, the Lord's name in vain, do not do it. If you've got it built into you, into your nature, kill it. Get rid of it. Don't do it. Don't use it. It is a sin. We've got to, you know, respect the other. You know, there's a lot of commandments we don't respect that God gave us. You know, honor your father and your mother. We got Mother's Day coming up this week. Are you prepared? Do you got something for your mom? What, you know, and I know there's people out there, oh, my mom was mean and my mom was this. So what? Honor, God's word says to honor your father and mother, period. He doesn't ask your permission. He doesn't say, if you feel like it, he says to do it. Why? He says it'll make you live a long, healthy, happy life. I promise you, if you honor your mother and father, you're going to feel better. You're going to live healthier. You're going to be living a true life. It's just, I don't know. It's God's natural law. Let's live by it. Let's obey it. It's super important that we do so. As I got on, that was the Lord's name in vain. So maybe we should make sure that we don't do what I normally do and eat up all of our time so we don't have any time to talk about what the point of the show itself is. And I was looking for some notes here. Let me find you some. Here's some news stuff that's kind of a kick. Hamas, you know, those lovely, you know, I'm trying to think. There's Hamas, what's the other one? Hamas and Hezbollah. I'm gonna check something out here. I always forget which one's north and which one's south. When I was in Israel back in the day, they went crazy with missiles and bombs and, you know, they failed. And Israel has the Iron Dome, which, you know, they can block, you know, incoming bombs and, you know, they do it anyway. They do a good job. So 700 missiles fired by Hamas at Israel, okay? Blocked primarily all of them by the Iron Dome. What a waste of money. The thing that went through my mind is, where do they get all the money? What's the cost of these? You know, Hamas is an Islamic, you know, resistance movement. It's not a country. It's not a nation. Obama treated Hamas and Hezbollah as if they were nations. It means, Hamas means zeal in Arabic or whatever the language was, founded in 1987 at the time of the Palestinian uprising. And you got the Intifada in Gaza, and the West Bank is one of 28 groups officially declared as foreign terrorist organizations. And I could go on and on and on. I always forget. I was down there. I always forget which one's south and which one's north. And I was just trying to look that up, and I can't find it. Let's see. Here they go. Held by Israel, it trains Hamas militants. So Hezbollah trains Hamas militants and is seeking to further arm Fatah, Hamas, and the Islamic Jihad, ISIS, blah, blah, blah. For those Palestinians without guns, Hezbollah encouraged them to stab Israelis to death. The group is believed responsible for this, you know, 1983 suicide bombings, and it goes on and on, and it's got this big, beautiful resume of all these murders and slaughterings, and it, you know, just terrible, terrible stuff. Sorry, my friends, but it just is not a pretty picture. So I will tell you that it's important that you realize that if Israel reacts, they have every single right to do so, in my opinion. And showing restraint is incredible. It's not fair. I mean, it's like they just get picked on and picked on and picked on and picked on. And if they do anything, oh boy, watch out. Here comes the media, and here comes the left, and here comes these, you know, these phony videos they've had where they show, CNN even discovered that they had the same guy on a stretcher in three separate attacks. You know, it's all acting. They do these phony things and say women and children, they live a lie. In Islam, you're commanded to lie. It's called taqiyya. In order to for the furtherance of the cause of Allah and Islam, you are commanded to lie. What that means is very simple, is that you can get people like Barack Hussein Obama, who are raised Muslim, who learn how to behave American, all the way up to the top of an organization, because they can do so much damage from within. This is what's been going on. And I think we're getting a little smarter, but we have Jefferson's warnings against Islam. You know, our four founders. I won't get into that right now. For the simple fact of time, I want to stick to the topic. So the topic is frauds and suddenly. I was talking about this richest man in Babylon, and they've got, you know, all these different rules, and I won't get into that this week. They have seven cures for a lean purse. You know, basically it's about saving. Okay. It doesn't matter what you make. Save. In some cases, maybe. And then, you know, okay, how do you save? Well, you control your spending. Right? You know, what can you go without? It says, make your gold multiply. That's the third cure. It talks about, you know, first of all, you build up gold. This is about gold, which is, you know, gold goes back to the beginning of written human history. For those of you who've listened over and over, you understand it pops up in Genesis chapter 2. And it becomes the centerpiece of our economy throughout history. Solomon's Temple's just loaded with it. It's everywhere. It's money. God does everything. During the Exodus, he makes them get all the gold and silver, and it just permeates history. Jesus gets it as his first gift, and Jesus is sold for 30 pieces of silver. You know, we have right now in stock what's called the shekel of Tyre, which is, it's one coin that's called 30 pieces of silver. It's the equivalent of, and it's from the time, it's a coin that circulated between 20 BC and 45 AD, or 50, about 55 AD. It is probably the coin or the exact type of coin that Judas got paid in to turn his back or to betray Jesus. It's a certified coin. It's interesting. It's about $1,000 or so, $900 and some. But you know what? It's big. It's about the size of a half dollar. It's the real deal. And then, you know, it's really hard to avoid Jefferson's warnings about Islam. I just had that stuff pop up on my screen. And he did, it says he criticized Islam as a stifling free inquiry. We're being taken over. Part of their jihad is a population overflow. So anyway, let's stick with the game. Frauds end suddenly. On Friday, I touched briefly on why things could get bad fast. I think it was Friday. No, that was this was on Monday. Why could things get bad fast? In 08, the economy collapsed because of the housing debt. I was speaking two nights ago to a friend of mine in Miami who is a massive financial analyst. He has a book of billions of dollars of people's money. These are quotes from his mouth. Now, this is a broker that is so rich and so powerful and so respected down there. You would never, ever expect to hear this stuff out of his mouth. He called this a sucker's rally. He said, everyone has the bandwagon mentality. And he said, the end of 2018, we had the supposed correction, the phony correction, when everyone thought the market was over and it was going to crash. But oh no, it turned around, didn't it? And it came roaring back. So what happened? Everybody's like, oh my gosh, I got to jump in now because this is my opportunity to get in at the bottom of this correction and capitalize upon it. That's when he called it a sucker's rally. That phony adjustment at the end of the year, what better time? End of the year, get people in the beginning of the year. 401ks, IRAs. I'm telling you right now, folks, if you got 401ks or IRAs, it's so easy for us to put them into precious metals, physical, hard asset, real precious metals, your money. In other words, we open you up in a trust account, and then we transfer physical metal that you literally can come into the store and pick out. It's yours. And then you put that in some incredible depositories around the United States that are underground with, you know, multiple doors for trucks to go through and all that. Very secure. Now, I'll be honest with you. The best option is to avoid 401ks and IRAs and to make your own. Okay, that's what I've done because I want to be off the radar. I mean, I want my money off the radar. I don't want banks and brokers and everybody else in the government to know what I have, so I keep my stuff off the radar. It's private. It's anonymous. It's transportable. It's immediately liquid. I don't think, you know, a lot of you may not realize the liquidity level of precious metals. They are just absolutely 100% liquid. Now, yeah, they're down, but wow, what a bargain, what a value, what a great time to do it, you know? You buy low and you sell high, and the market's just acting silly and goofy, and you go back to the dot-com craze of, you know, that ended around 2000. That's what this broker was talking to me about, and he said, that they sucked people in with the fake correction. And then he said that brokers, hedge funds, et cetera, they have to churn and turn and burn your money. So if your money is sitting in any account, any broker's account, any stocks, bonds, equities, whatever, they want to churn you and burn you and turn you. In other words, they don't, you know, they make their money when they keep swapping you stock to stock. They truly, truly, truly don't care if you make money. They don't care, okay? My attitude is we win when you win. So we truly try to sell you products that matter, hand-selected. I've got a tremendous amount of experience in my industry. I've been doing it a long time. I know what's hot. I know what's not. I know what goes. I know what doesn't. And, you know, I had a gal say to me, okay, so we were looking at doing this portfolio, and we ended up doing it for her. And she just couldn't get through her head the annuity ripoff. Folks, when you buy an annuity, it's gone. You can never get your money back out in whole. There's just so many penalties and punishments for getting your money back out. It's mind-boggling. It's a way to say goodbye to your money, because ultimately what they want to do is annuitize you, okay? And what they do when they annuitize you is they take your money and say, we're going to pay you X amount per year from now on until you die, or for the next 20 years, and blah, blah, blah. And people say, oh, I'm getting 5% on my money. And I'm like, how is that? Well, I gave them $100,000 and they're giving me $5,000 a year. And it's like, okay, that's 5% on your money. What's happening to the principal? Or how long are they doing it for? Well, they're doing it for 20 years. Okay. So if you take $100,000 and you divide it by 20, what do you get? $5,000. They're not giving you 5%. They're giving you 0%. They're paying you your money back over 20 years, getting full use of your money. And that doesn't count all the premiums and phony stuff. And I'm just telling you, folks, without wasting a show on it, do not buy annuities. I mean, I don't care if it's bankonyourself.com or, you know, whole life insurance or universal life, or I can't keep up with all the different programs they got. It's all the same. If it's through an insurance salesman, run. You are not dealing with a good situation. If you want to play the stock market game, you better be pretty sharp. You better be ready to move and shake and shudder and buy and sell. And or you can do what God says, and you can be biblical about your finances, and you can just buy precious metals-based assets. Having real estate, having a home is good, but, you know, let's be honest with each other. You got to pay sales tax, maintenance, utilities, upgrade. You know, you've got to always be fixing broken stuff. You got to paint. I mean, it's not easy to take care of a house. I just got rid of a way big mansion on the water, and the taxes became ridiculous, and the insurance was untouchable. Cleaning the place was terrible, and the upgrading was unbelievable. I mean, or updating and maintenance, it's just not worth it, okay? But, if you got the money, enjoy it, but enjoy your house. How much room do you need? I mean, believe me, I've been a real estate baron guru from day one. I had a good friend who hit, you know, was right out of college buying big houses and driving beater cars and convinced me of, you know, to be real estate rich. And I jumped into that game for quite a while. I was in real estate lending as a regional manager of Bank of America Housing Services. And during that time in the early 90s on up, it worked. The market went up and up and up and up. But those days are gone now. They're over. So you have to quit. It's just not the time. Now's the time to get out and capitalize. You get out of the stocks, you get out of the bonds. You buy something cheap or at a value or a bargain or whatever, and that's precious metals-based assets. Plus, we build really nice balanced portfolios, precious metals at the base, semi-numismatic in the middle, and precious metals on top, or rare coins on top, numismatic, semi-numismatic in the middle. Like I said, Morgan and Peace silver dollars, they're going to be gone soon. We've got dealers, I think, that we're probably just going to be selling some pretty large quantities to. And by the way, they pay the same price dealer to dealer as we sell to you, the local client. So you get everything at wholesale at Coins Plus. it's really important to us that we sell you stuff at a very, very fair price. So what do we got going on in this country? Our household debt has reached $13.5 trillion. We've got $1 trillion above the 08 peak. This, you know, you guys have all seen Jim Cramer scream on TV. He said you should be taking at least 50% of your money off the table out of the stock market. Well, that's all he does is pump stocks, and he's telling people to get their money out. Folks, get out and even understand a money market fund can lose money. Don't be fooled, you know. Just go with what God says. I just biblically be sound. That's all I can tell you. Every type of debt is soaring. Student loan debt at an all-time high. Car debt, all-time highs, all in the trillions each. Delinquencies, fall behinds, all-time high. Corporate debt is doubled since 08, and it's reached all-time highs as a percentage of GDP. Commercial real estate lending has gone bonkers. People are building commercial real estate left and right. It's crazy, you know. They all think they're going to fill them up. We've got a bubble coming. There's going to be vacant commercial buildings all over this country in the next X number of years. I, you know, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4. I can tell you one thing, you know, worst case, if Trump makes it for a while, he might keep it propped up just with his rhetoric. But, you know, it's one thing to have residential real estate going bad, but it's another to have commercial. So corporate debt's out of control. Half of all investment grade debt is rated triple B or lower, which is the lowest rung above the junk bond status. You remember the junk bond crash of, I don't remember when that was, the 70s or 80s. And what did we do then? And then it was the 80s. What did we do then? Oh, another bailout. And guess what? Citizens all owed it. Each of us now owe over $1 million each, every single person in America. A particular risky form of corporate debt, which is called leverage loans, which is based on credit, not companies proving their ability to cash flow, but just using assets to borrow money. It's doubled since the crash of 08-09. Bank of America, I talked about, they have these signposts that signal a looming bear market. And then 14 of these 19 indicators, 74%, have been triggered. Two more were toppled earlier this month. The VIX, which is a volatility index, climbed above 20. And a growing number of Americans still expect stocks to go up, which is just pure foolishness. The government will not be able to help this time. Why? Because the Fed's balance sheet has already grown over fivefold. The federal deficit has blown past $22 trillion, and we're heading straight towards $23 trillion. I mean, we're running debt. Trump is just, you know, kaboom. I mean, he's made this thing fly. You talk about debt, he is not doing this country a favor. He's an anti-constitutionalist when it comes to monetary issues. He just wants to spend like crazy because he wants to get reelected. He doesn't know. He just runs a company. And basically in his company, if they tell him he's got money, he's got money. And he doesn't mind borrowing it. But in America, the money's not getting backed by assets. People, you know, their people's general wages, the minimum wage is going down. So what happens? People need money. Where do they seek it? Oh, from the U.S. government. And they want to get everybody on welfare. They have the illegal immigrant influx that's crazy. That because they want to get people eventual amnesty so that they can vote. So a lot of experts are calling this situation the everything bubble. The pin that pops it could be a trade war, a socialist president. That's what's coming next. You and I know it. Socialism is popular. Can you believe that? It terrifies the tar out of me. I mean, here we go again. You know, turn of the century. Back in 1900, that was the thing. Karl Marx came out. It became a popular theory. You got all these teachers in college brainwashing our kids. So you got the everything bubble. If we get, I mean, a socialist president will just destroy everything, trying to redistribute wealth. You can't do it. And the zero-sum thinking is wrong, okay? Do not buy into this attitude that there is X amount of wealth available, and if someone else has it, you can't. That is just pure baloney. God made us so we can create wealth, okay? You can go out in the field, and you can pick, you know, bamboo or something, make a basket, all right? The bamboo costs you nothing. You can go sell the basket for $10. You just created wealth. I know that's a weird example, but it's an example. You can take a pile of steel and put it all together and call it a car, and you created wealth. You can go cut down trees and take the lumber and build a house and sell the house for four times what the lumber costs, and you just created wealth. This country started empty. You know, we had the East Coast. We started with the colonies. Now we're full from coast to coast, obviously continuing to grow. We create wealth. So there is no zero sum. It's not the rich people. It's not the top 1% that are evil, not paying their fair share. Even if they did, it wouldn't even come close to fixing the problem. So, you know, geopolitical turmoil. I mean, folks, a war. I said earlier, a trade war could trigger this pin, you know, could be the pin that pops this everything bubble. A trade war, a socialist president, geopolitical unrest, you know, a war. I mean, we're sending ships and fighter jets right now as we speak over to Iran to threaten them. Well, eventually you get these kooks go crazy. You've got Kim Jong-un down in North Korea is supposedly negotiating with Trump, and then he's shooting, you know, projectiles over Japan during their, you know, some celebration. And you've got corporate bankruptcies. I mean, they, you know, as long as they got the money flowing, they're okay, but that isn't going to last forever. And there's a million other things that could trigger this thing. I mean that. And folks, simplicity. Get your 401ks and IRAs into precious metals-based assets. You know, if you do a 401k and IRA, you can only have gold and silver-based stuff. If you have savings, you can put it into, a balanced portfolio. And folks, you think it's foolish? Well, I've done it. And I'll tell you what, over the years, I've done very well. We use the same logic when we sell to our customers, and we do sell, like I said, at wholesale, so there's not these big margins you need to catch up on. And whether it's gold and silver, whatever it is, you know, semi-numismatic, numismatic, I love dollars. I can't get over them. They're my thing. I think they're so fairly priced. The lower end of them is in the, you know, $17-$18 range on up, but you know, you're getting 100 plus year old coins and you're buying them just for a little bit over the what an ounce of silver would cost. I don't know, they're a good investment. You get a nice balance. You get some better date stuff, some BUs, original uncirculated rolls of Morgans. You cannot believe how rare those are. And, and right now what's going on? Oh, the U.S. Mint just dropped West Point. Watch your change for 2019 West Point quarters with a W Mint mark. They'll have 2019 date. They'll have a park on the back. The first one they let go is called Lowell Park. They're only making $2 million of each. They're already selling on eBay for $20 a piece. I mean, there's some people asking more, but you can get these out of your change. The Mint released them all to try to start this quarter program again. But just watch your change. I'll throw that in there. It doesn't matter what triggers the next bubble. It's going to destroy your portfolio. Folks, the time to prepare is now. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's Stansberry Research and all these big companies that are right every single time. They're saying, do it now. Please don't wait. Just stop procrastinating. And I'm especially if you have a substantial portion. If you're retiring and you've got these big 401ks and IRAs, you're going to get burned. And I mean, you don't want to take. You get into people with $300,000-$400,000, you know, and they're broker. Yeah, their broker is going to tell them, oh, don't go to gold. Gold's bad. Yeah, well, God must be bad. And if gold's wrong and gold's doesn't perform right, then God's a liar, okay? When someone tells you that precious metals-based assets are bad, they're telling you God and the Bible is a lie. And you're either going to live in the world or you're going to live in the spirit, and it's up to you. You need to make that decision, and that's how I ended up here. I was in banking. I was a regional manager for banking. I got a strong a very extensive background in economics and finance, and I believe in what I do so dearly you wouldn't even believe it. And we've also done everything to just get super wholesale. When the crash arrives, it will be too late. Frauds, remember, frauds end suddenly. Frauds end suddenly. Put that in your head. There's no slow, soft landing of the economy crash. It doesn't come softly coming down. It just starts to come apart at the seams. Is that coming? Yes, it is. The rush to the exits will be unlike anything you've seen before. Market algorithms will liquidate trillions of dollars of stock market value before ordinary people have any clue what's going on. I'm going to read that again. Market algorithms will liquidate trillions of dollars of stock market value before the average person even knows what's going on. Keep in mind, U.S. stocks have already reached their most overvalued level in history, according to countless respected economists. Way worse. We're way worse than the peak of 29 before the Great Depression. Way worse than the peak of the tech bubble of 2000 before a 78% NASDAQ crash. We're worse than the frenzied run-up of the S&P's, mere 47% collapse in 08. 67% of brokers are predicting a 60 to 75% crash in the S&P 500 within the next 2 years. Let me repeat that. 67% of stockbrokers predict a 60 to 75% crash in the S&P 500 within the next 2 years. So I'll stop there. This does not have to be a problem for you. I've told you what your solution is. Give us a call, 444-0044 at Coins Plus. We'll take care of you. Like I've said, Google, give us a 5-star review, business-related. Call us, prove it, free, nice silver dollar. Give three, on three different sites, prove it, two nice silver dollars. Take care. God bless. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for your loyalty. Bye-bye.